Greetings. You've entered into the very cosmos where anything is possible and everything is probable. And we are back, baby.
We're back for part two. Second time coming back. First time releasing.
Yes. Yeah, right. We recorded an episode.
And I never put it out.
It's in a different, in another universe. We did release that episode and our audience got to listen to it in that universe. So sorry that you're this variant. That's not our fault.
That's not my problem. I don't even remember what we recorded about now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh God. What? Oh my God. What did we record about last?
I don't remember.
Wow. Whew. All right. Okay. So today we're going to talk about the newest installment in the MCU, which is The Marvels. Spoiler warning. Obviously, this episode will be full of spoilers. If you haven't seen The Marvels and you care to watch it without knowing anything about it, don't listen to this episode. But if you don't care and you want to see what or hear what happens, then stick around.
I fully encourage everybody, if you are not going to see the movie and you're like, I'll just wait for it to come out on Disney Plus, listen to the episode, find out all the spoilers, go watch it, give them your money, because I love Brie Larson. Every time she pisses off an angry man on the internet, I love her even harder.
There you go.
Yeah. That's
we do. We do love it's fun to piss men off. It just is.
I love it. And I love Iman Vellani. So go support them. This was, unfortunately, it looks like it is the lowest, box office draw that a Marvel movie has ever brought in. So
really,
yeah, it is currently sitting at like the bottom, but I think it's like number one worldwide right now. But for like a Marvel Studios release, it has brought in the least amount of money, but at the immediate moment it is like number one, but there's also not a lot of movies out right now.
Maybe we can convince you to go see it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. I was convinced to go see this based off a rumor. So, and I was very happy to find out that rumor was true, but let's talk about the movie first.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start, Leo? How do we want to break this down?
Okay, so I was going to start with a quick recap of the movie and what happens. I have made several bulletin points. To be precise, 11 bulletin points. But
I do see that.
Fragmented sentences.
I noticed that too. I at first thought it was a different language, but only because some of the words
are spelled wrong
or like fantasy words. So I was like, did Leah learn a new language without telling me?
The answer is yes. I'm from Kentucky. We speak a language of our own. Technically. So movie opens with our villain played by Zoe Ashton, I think is her name.
And I really just think she's fantastic. And I'm off. Yes. I'm just... And love I didn't it. Know that her and Tom Hiddleston were married.
And they got a baby. I had no idea. Love it. Love to see it. She was cast and filmed her parts of this movie, I think, before they got married. So I don't think it was a well-known fact at the time that they were like a thing. So it wasn't like a favoritism thing with Marvel that got her the job. But it might have been.
Who cares? I think she did a good job.
I think she was a great actor in this movie. But we'll talk about that here in a minute. So it opens with our villain, who is of Kree descent, Darben, on the moon, finding one of the bangles that we see in Ms. Marvel, the TV show. Turns out it's actually a quantum band from the Kree nation that we saw at the end of Shang-Chi in the post-credit scenes with the Hulk and Captain Marvel. And it cuts immediately to Monica Rambeau in space. Her Carol Danvers and Kamala Khan in New Jersey accidentally get into some space shenanigans, switch places a whole bunch. They do a little jump rope. They do a little fighting. And it turns out that Kamala Khan's mother is the coolest person in the entire movie and was willing to throw down with some alien Kree offenders in her house and straight up murder people. Love it. Love to see
amen,
it.
Amen, amen, amen.
Love her so much. Nick Fury and Monica recruit Kamala Khan as they go on a space adventure with Carol to figure out why they're switching places and who this villain is that created a tear in space-time fabric continuum, quantum mania, astrophysics, more
science BS
science words that I don't think are real.
There was science.
Yeah, there's a singing planet made 96.7% of water or something. It turns out Carol Danvers is also Carol the princess, the Disney princess or something in space, and they sing songs or whatever. Kind of weird. We don't know what happened to that planet because they literally just bailed out in the middle of its water being drained to reunite Hala, the Kree planet that Carol Danvers killed at the end of Captain Marvel when she destroyed the Supreme Intelligence. Oh no, she's actually the Annihilator, which is really cool because the first Kree villain we ever saw, he was called the Annihilator. And the Guardians of the Galaxies beat him. So they regroup, the Marvels do, Kamala, Carol, and Monica. They fight Darben while some Flarkins hatch in space with Nick Fury. And then the Flarkin cats all have to eat all of the crew of Saber because Saber's a thing now. And that's the only way to save their lives is to herd up all the stray kittens in the spaceship and feed the crew to them. It was very, very funny. I laughed a lot at that.
That was a fantastic scene. Sequence. I literally loved told people it. To go see the movie just for that scene.
Loved it so much. And then the announcement playing over the PA speakers, stop running. Let the Flarkins eat you.
Yeah, let them eat you. Everyone's still running and it's like, oh.
I know. My five-year-old was very impressed with that scene. At the end of the movie, he said, this is the best Captain Marvel movie I have ever seen. He's never seen the first one. So.
Good opinion.
The Flarkins hatch. They eat everybody. Darben explodes sometime in space after she tries to, I think, kill Kamala Khan, which was honestly very rude of her. It creates a bigger hole in space and time and starts to suck this universe into that universe. We will assume that that universe is Earth 616. This is Earth 199999. Which if you listen to Iman Vellani, that is fake news. This is Earth 199999. And in MCU world, that is Earth 616. So they've got them backwards. I'm sorry. Monica disappears through the space-time hole because she sacrifices herself with her really cool ultra-light beaming powers. They never get to name her officially in the movie. They get really, really close a couple of times and they call her the Vision at one point, which was kind of funny. Professor Marvel was very funny. Carol decides to go back to Hala and she saves the sun by jump-starting it and flying through it or some shit like that. And Kamala goes back to New Jersey where she is sad and she very sadly tells everybody that they lost Monica to space, never tells them really what happens, I don't expect. And then she decides she's going to go on a recruitment mission just like Nick Fury and she winds up inside of one Kate Bishop's apartment with Lucky the pizza dog. And I was kicking my feet and twirling my hair.
I freaked out at that part. When I saw Lucky
the pizza dog. So she's deciding that she's going to recruit people. She mentioned Cassie Lang. She's definitely setting up for the Young Avengers. But by the time they make that movie, they won't be the Young Avengers anymore. They're going to be the 30-year-old Avengers. So they're most likely going to be the champions. And back on Elseworlds, Monica is stuck in another universe. And that universe suspiciously looks just like the first three Fox X-Men movie basement. And who does she see? When she opens her eyes for the very first time, her little peepers, who do they see?
That's not first. Binary's first.
Binary. Binary is none other than her mother.
Yes. Although it's not her mother in this universe, it's Binary.
Yes. She does not recognize who Monica is. Maria also has like no earthly idea that this person would be related to her at all and is like, please stop calling me mother and touching my face and having a panic attack. She is just the superhero Binary.
Yes. And for those of you that don't... pans over to Blue Boy Beast.
He's back.
I have to be specific with Blue Boy because there's several multiple blue people in the X-Men.
There is several of them.
There's several blue people, but it is Beast. He's in doctor mode. He's taking care of Monica. And he immediately catches on. And it's just like, you're not from our universe.
Professor X thinks that you came from another universe.
Yeah.
He just says the professor.
Yeah, and, the professor.
And then it ends with her being super confused.
Yeah. Because she's probably like, how did he know? How? And it's like, bro, come on.
He'd be knowing some things.
Also, Beast is ridiculously smart. So if anyone was going to help figure that out.
And he was 110% a CGI character in this movie, which is a little weird because I want to say that they did a practical effects suit in the X-Men movies for him.
They did.
But I think
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a practical effect. mixed with some CGI.
Yeah, but I'll say, of course, okay, yeah. I mean, that's pretty much that's the movie. So the rumor I heard was that there was going to be confirmed X-Men, and we definitely got that.
Did you hear a rumor about, like, which X-Man it would be?
No, you literally messaged and said, there's a rumor that X-Men are going to be in this movie. And I was like, hot dog, that's the only motivation I need. That's it. I'm in.
Over here, hot diggity dog.
Literally, I audibly, loudly gasped when I saw Beast. Because, like, I didn't recognize Binary at first. It took me a minute because I was kind of like, I was okay, more so like.
I had a feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. I was more like, whoa, that's like the same actress that played her mom. Like, what? Like, my brain was trying to, like, figure it out because of that. Because I just wasn't making the connection right away. But as soon as they showed Beast, I was like, I get it.
Oh, yeah. No. Like, okay. So you did I not give you, did I not tell you, like, which X-Men I had seen a rumor for? Okay, because I didn't want to spoil it in case it was wrong. So I saw two rumors. And I was hoping that it was going to be this one, but I was also like, there's no way that they're gonna introduce this iconic character at the end of a Captain Marvel movie. So the first rumor I heard was it was gonna be Storm that we saw. And then after the trailer came out, and it did in the final trailer for this movie show the moment where Monica wakes up in another universe, and you see that figure move across the screen in front of her, and you just saw, like, the white outfit, everybody freaked out and they thought it was gonna be Storm. So I was like, I don't really know how that would play into it, but I'm sure that they could fucking find a way to write that into it, you know? And then the second one that I heard was it was going to be Rogue, actually, who was introduced in this movie. Because at one point in the comics, Rogue does take Captain Marvel's powers for a while. And I think that's how she begins flying.
That's when she's a not good guy.
Yeah, when she's with the Brotherhood, I think.
Yeah, she's working under Mystique, who... Mm-hmm. tells her she has to go do that. Yeah.
So I was like, that one, that rumor could hold some sustenance to it because of her connection to Captain Marvel, which could still be how they introduce her in future things, you know, to bring her into it. Especially since we're on a Elseworld now that features Binary. So not at any point did I see a rumor that Beast was going to be the X-Men that we got.
I think it made sense, though.
I did. Like, it made a lot of sense. In
the setting of the, like, kind of doctor setting and, like, examining Monica and stuff, like, it definitely, it made sense.
It made sense. It made a lot of sense the way that they played everything in this movie. We'll talk about our thoughts and feelings and opinions on the plot of this movie here in a second. But, yeah, that did make a lot of sense. The second rumor that I did see online, I accidentally got on Twitter the week this movie was coming out. And saw that Kate Bishop was confirmed to come back in it. So that was ruined for me, but could you imagine the way that my reaction would have been had it not been ruined?
Yeah, because I didn't know that. So I was like, whoa! And then immediately, like, literally my immediate thought was Young Avengers. But I do agree with what you said. Like, by the time we get to that movie, these actors are going to be a lot older. So I think there's going to be a really good chance that we don't get Young Avengers, that we get Champions.
I think Iman Vellani is the only actor right now of Young Avengers besides, like, the boys from WandaVision that is still a teenager. The rest of them are mid to late 20s, so they're just going to end up being the Champions. And I have a strong feeling that when we see Billy and Tommy again, it will not be those same children actors. It will be an aged up version of them. And I kind of sort of almost expected to meet one of the Young Avengers in this movie after we discovered that there was, in fact, an entire planet full of Skrulls in space living amongst themselves peacefully, that for some reason Nick Fury didn't send the other million Skrulls on Earth to go live with when the Skrulls were looking for a planet to live in Secret Invasion. I don't know if you finished that show or not, Lacey.
Almost. Very close.
Okay, I'm going to ruin the end for you.
That's
fine.
Okay? Yeah.
So the final episode sees the world discover that Skrulls exist. Aliens are amongst us. They look just like us, and they're slowly have been invading the government. And Nick Fury has helped stop it now.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Talos, the main Skrull, you've not seen Captain Marvel, so you don't know who this person is, but he is the main Skrull of that movie. He is killed in the second to last episode, I think, maybe, perhaps. And it's like on TV and stuff. He turns back into his little green self and the world is like, oh no, aliens. And Nick Fury's like, but they're good guys, brah. And like, these are the good ones. There's like two bad ones. Oh no. But the very
oh no,
what are we gonna do?
Oh my god.
Oh, you're green. So the president of the MCU decides after they save his life from a Skrull invasion or that they're going to declare war on every Skrull in Earth, like on planet Earth and in space. And he says something super sinister, like, we're going to come for you. And I'm declaring the people of this planet take immediate action into your own hands. And it ends with like a bunch of like really, really fucking cool news flashes just all over the place of like, Skrull, alien Skrulls attacked in the streets here. Innocent people killed because people believe they're Skrulls. And it starts like civil wars across the planet, right?
Lord.
But then you know what happens in the Marvels? A fucking spaceship lands in New York City where a bunch of like Skrulls fly out and aliens just land everywhere on a park because the Flarkins are throwing them up. And nobody does a single thing about it. And at no point does Nick Fury decide to send the Earth Skrulls to go live with the King Emperor Skrull in space.
In retrospect, probably good that he didn't.
I guess, because they did destroy their planet.
Well, yeah, they would have annihilated. Well, I guess some of them escaped. Oh my god. The part where they're escaping, helping the Skrulls escape the planet because, you know, Captain Marvel definitely... She effed that up real good. Oh, she was like,
yeah,
I'm here to help. And then they were like, you stick the Annihilator on us. What the heck? Like, the Kree were like, what the heck?
Why? They're like, bro, we didn't even know she was coming to the party.
We didn't know she was going to be here. And they're like, nah, we don't trust that, actually.
You know.
So but we're going to steal your entire atmosphere.
Which was
insane.
You know. And I do really, really love that they did that whole Carol snaps at Kamala and is like, we save who we can save.
Yep.
When they have to leave like half the planet behind. That is a very hard hitting moment for the movie.
But and realistic.
Still, it's very realistic, and it still doesn't change Kamala's opinion of Captain Marvel, that she is the greatest superhero in the world, and she's still her idol.
Yep.
You know, she recognized that she made a hard decision. It took her a minute to live with it and live in it because she's like a 16-year-old kid, but she did it, and she made that same choice later on in the movie when she decided to abandon Alderaan, I think was the planet. Name?
I think so. The singing planet.
Yeah.
I personally love the singing planet. Yes, the singing planet for those
like
who I loved it. For those who didn't watch the movie, there's this planet where their language is to sing. So if you just talk plainly, they don't understand you. You have to sing for them to understand. Except the prince, he's bilingual. He can understand plain talking. But basically Captain Marvel married this prince out of like
necessity, I think, for like to stop a war,
like a political move, for him, like as a friend move, like, so they're not actually romantically involved or anything, like, and she's only the princess on this. I know it was questionable, but she's the only the princess on this planet. Like, basically, the marriage isn't probably recognized anywhere else. From what she was kind of saying, but she definitely seemed into it. But they could also just be best friends.
Well, I mean, you know what else seemed kind of questionable?
What?
Valkyrie showing up.
Oh yeah, when she just
gay.
I honestly thought that, I honestly was wondering if like the reason that Captain Marvel married him was so like he could have a princess, but in reality he wanted a prince. But, like, I don't know. I was like, I want to know the full story behind this because I love a story where we're hiding it. That is fun.
So, no, do you, when King Valkyrie shows up to take the Skrulls back to wherever New Asgard is, there's been a lot of rumor online right now. And since, like, Endgame came out, that Valkyrie and Carol Danvers would end up becoming an item in the MCU. For the gays, you know, but
for the gays,
but everyone is now like, well, this movie got a theatrical release in China and they are not for the gays. So I don't think that they will confirm a romance between Captain Marvel and Valkyrie.
Are we always going to be blocked because of that?
I guess forever and ever.
That's so sad.
Yeah, but there is definitely a little gaze happening.
Immediately, my mind is transported to how Gambit was supposed to be bisexual, but back in the 80s, Marvel comic writers were like, no, don't do that to him. It's like, what do you mean? This man is definitely screwing anybody he can. Let's be honest about this personality type real quick, because he's getting with anybody.
Well, luckily that won't stop them in this day and age, but it will stop them from putting it on film and a movie, apparently, that came out a lot worse than I wanted it to.
I see, but Gambit's married. I want them to just freaking admit that Gambit's bisexual, because he just, like, you can't exude that much sexual energy and not be. I'm sorry. You just can't. You cannot.
How funny would it have been if that was the X-Men mutant that was introduced in this movie. It's fucking Gambit. He just pops up in the park, you know, when the Clark kids are like throwing up like people, and he's just like, oh, I'm not in Louisiana anymore.
Okay, at one point they were in Louisiana.
They were in Louisiana.
And I was like, I like held my breath at that moment, because once again, the rumor about X-Men, I was like, is this about to happen right now? And then it didn't. And I was like, okay.
So while I was watching the movie, I figured that it would be a post-credit tag that introduced whichever character it was, because as the movie progressed, I was like, literally the only character that they could run into would be Rogue on another planet who takes her powers or some shit. But there's not enough movie left, like movie runtime left, to have that make sense.
Yeah.
You know, because this was also the shortest Marvel movie at, like, I think an hour and a half or something like that. Like just over an hour, and it was fine for the most part. Like, it was a quick, enjoyable ride. I do think it could have used like another 20 minutes to really flush that villain out a bit more.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see a little more of her, because I think my favorite part, like, not any of the post credit scenes, just the movie, I think my favorite part was Kamala and the villain.
Yeah,
those were my two favorite parts. Kamala was really great comedic relief, because this movie does have like some darker points where it's, you know, like we said, like the you can't save everybody, and we literally watch a ton of people just get annihilated.
Yeah,
like they don't save you from that. They're like, watch these buildings crush these people. Like, nothing we can do. You tried, so you definitely have to face that. You have to face that. This one planet is dealing with their sun dying. They barely have any oxygen debris, so they're wearing masks. Their oceans are dried up. Like, they're getting their planet fixed throughout the movie, but there's still the reality of how long they've lived with that. So just like these, a lot of dark themes. So Kamala was perfect for just kind of like, okay, take a breath, like laugh for a moment, like we're good. Mm-hmm. And then the villain was really good, because I like, part of me was like, I know you're doing bad things, but
it makes sense.
Right. It makes sense. Right. Like, what part of me is like, wouldn't I do the same?
So, like, that was like my biggest problem with it, though, is like everything that they did made sense. Right. Like, it wasn't poorly written at all.
Yeah.
It just wasn't on the level that I think they wanted it to be on, with like the feeling of it, you know, because she's running around destroying planets and causing interdimensional rifts through space-time jumps, which is like breaking reality, and that's a really big problem.
Yes, apparently. Yeah, because it could destroy
our reality,
universes. You know?
Like,
yeah,
their entire universes. Like their main reality, like reality and universe, could be destroyed, but it also didn't feel like that.
Yeah, you know? the pressure of like the universe collapsing didn't come through very well.
Like, it felt like the biggest problem that they had, honestly, the Marvels did, was like figuring out why they were switching places and how it was happening.
Yeah.
Not and necessarily then also, if they were rifting the universe.
It took them some extra time to figure out like why the villain was doing what they were doing, which I thought was kind of weird, because I was like, after she stole the first thing from the first planet, it should have already been obvious.
Yeah. And like, once they figured out, they're like, oh, she's Kree. It should have been very, very obvious of like, okay, well, Kree are the enemies of the Skrull and enemies of Carol Danvers by proxy. So them fighting would make a lot of sense. And like, why are we pretending for most of this movie that we don't know where the Kree are going and where they're at?
Yeah,
that, clearly that was... they're stealing resources. So where else would they be going but home?
Exactly. That was, I was like, it took us a little long to figure that out. Like, I think that could have been figured out a lot faster. And they could have figured it out faster and still taken as much time as they did to try and stop her, because they still had to go to the other planets and try to protect them.
Like they still had to go protect the water planet, you know?
So,
and that
like,
was really the only other planet that they went to.
Yeah, because then she, they come to Earth, but they don't even get the chance to do anything with that.
Yeah.
Or the villain doesn't.
No, because Darben literally explodes as soon as she puts both bangles on.
She couldn't handle it.
Ronan the Accuser, not the Annihilator, Ronan the Accuser, remember in the first Guardians movie where he held the space stone or whatever it was, whichever stone it was, and it started to like destroy his body?
Yes.
Like, that's exactly what happened to Darben. She literally exploded immediately and didn't matter anymore.
So, I did think that her death was lackluster.
The defeating of the villain was very quick.
Yeah, very quick, like, it was kind of like, okay, we got this problem out of the way, now solve the dimensional tear problem. And it's like, and then once again, that wasn't built up super well. Like, the whole
dimensional
rift.
And I could get, like, okay, so I can kind of get behind the whole, we had to decide that in the moment where there's no time to deliberate, the dimension is literally coming apart, just like in No Way Home, is bleeding together now. So we have to decide now. We don't have time to deliberate on Monica absorbing these powers and going out there. But they literally just watched Darben absorb these powers and explode. And at no point are they like, Monica, you could also explode if we hit you with all this power. And then at no point do any of their super big brains go, she will also get stuck on the other side of this dimensional rift if she goes through to fix it. Until the very last minute when she's like, I always knew I had to stay. Brother, you only knew for about 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, when they acted shocked that Monica was like not coming back through, I'm like, what did you think was gonna happen?
Yeah, I'm like, there was literally
like,
no
how
other
was
way
she gonna
for this to
how
work.
Was she gonna close it? Like, she had to do that.
But we now know pretty much what the next Marvel's movie would be about, like next Captain Marvel would be about Carol trying to find a way to bring home Monica. And I could see that being what pulls the X-Men through, honestly. They show up halfway through a Captain Marvel movie and it becomes something of that nature.
I think it would be... I almost wonder if it would be smarter for them to do Origins first or something, like just X-Men movies first before pulling them all together, but I'm not sure.
I don't know. They'd have to find a way to bring them through and have them be a part of the main MCU universe of Earth 616 to make it
make sense.
Count, you know, make it make sense in a way. Because like, we're already heading towards Secret Invasion and Secret Wars. And to do Secret Wars, we have to have the X-Men. And Secret Wars is slotted to come out, I think, in 2026, 2025, 2026 or something like that. So we have to get the X-Men in quick. And I think that the only other way to do that would either be like a Champions movie, maybe opening with something like the Young Avengers messing with time continuum, because Cassie Lang likes to do that, pulling an X-Men through, or a Captain Marvel movie where they're trying to get Monica home and they open up a time portal or something like that, you know?
I definitely think it's going to have to do with getting Monica home.
It's for sure. Yeah.
Or Monica trying to come home herself and then being like, we will help you.
And then like with the whole binary of it, it's interesting that they did it as Maria, because binary is generally a Carol Danvers clone. Basically, she like overpowers herself and creates a light clone of herself that she then absorbs back into herself several times over before re-releasing on another planet. So for them to do it as Maria stands back on like the Multiverse of Madness, where we see Maria Rambeau as Captain Marvel instead of Carol Danvers. So I did like that little tie-in.
Yeah.
It made sense.
Yeah, I agree. What else do we want to go over? I guess, do we want to rate it?
Yeah, let's rate it. What would you overall give the Marvels?
I would probably give it like a 6.5. I definitely think it had a lot of room for improvement. I mean, that's really it. It just kind of what we discussed. There were a lot of areas. I think the way they could have improved it was if the universe is collapsing into another universe, instead of just saying, there's going to be big consequences for this, show me some consequences. Show me those consequences starting.
And I get that. And it's like, we've seen those consequences like 3 times over now. We saw them in WandaVision when she bled realities together. Yeah. We saw it in Spider-Man No Way Home when the rift opened and all of his reality and villains from other dimensions started bleeding through. And then we saw it again in Multiverse of Madness where they're talking about like excursions happening and worlds literally exploding. And then we see it again in, I guess, 4 times now. We see it again in Loki with the sacred timeline. Marvel was slightly relying on the audience having watched some things, I guess, to understand the importance and like the terror of those rifts happening.
Right. I still think like, I think back to like, and this is a spoiler for the newest Into the Spider-Verse movie, just as a heads up. But like when an anomaly would happen in that movie, immediate conflict or immediate punishment, immediate consequence, you know, like, so I didn't need it to be immediate, but when they kept pressuring, like, oh, we can't have this happen, I'm like, okay,
but why? It's been happening. Can't we have this happen?
Yeah. Right. It's been happening long enough, honestly, throughout this whole movie. Like, these rips have been there long enough now. Show me a consequence.
Because it's safe.
These characters.
Yeah.
Like,
and
stop
it's safe
just saying
assume,
it. That's not enough pressure.
Yeah. No. And it's safe to assume that, like, somebody like Nick Fury, Monica Rambeau, Kamala Khan, they would not be aware of the Spider-Man situation and his villains coming through to attack Peter Parker. They would not be aware of excursions on other Earths that Doctor Strange went through when he was fighting with Wanda. You know, they would not be. Monica and Fury would be aware of the stuff from like Westview and WandaVision and stuff like that, but they wouldn't be aware of like these people bleeding into our reality and how that will eventually lead to an excursion event that will demolish the entire planet, because they were not around for those things. And I highly doubt Doctor Strange is doing pop-in phone calls and being like, so over the weekend I got a third eye and also went to like another Earth where I was a bad guy and everything's gonna blow up. You know,
this isn't like a fully thought out idea. This is just what came to mind. I think maybe actually something that would have been cool to kind of put the pressure on would have been like, maybe it doesn't happen in the movie. Maybe we don't see the consequence during the movie, but maybe instead of Monica getting stuck over there and us getting X-Men over there, maybe the X-Men characters and mutants in general getting sucked into this world because the rift was open. Maybe could have been a cool way to be,
and
like,
I could still see that happening of them being like unaware that, because there's got to be stuff that Darben was doing that we did not see on screen, right?
Yeah.
So she could have opened up a rift to another planet. They did make it a point of saying that she was only attacking planets that meant something to Carol, but that doesn't mean that's where she started,
right?
You know, so like that still could be how they pull all the X-Men into it, and I do like that theory a lot better than just like Deadpool kills the Fox universe, but he also like saves like 3 or 4 X-Men or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that would have been a really good way to show a consequence, is having these people show like from another world or another universe show up, because that would completely change your timeline and mess your universe up. If people from a different universe show up, it would just jostle things around.
Yeah, because before Secret Wars gets here, we have to see another excursion event happen on another Earth that kills everybody in order for Secret Wars to land as dramatically as they want it to land.
And I don't know if this is a rumor or not, but I basically heard that Channing Tatum was confirmed as Gambit in the new Deadpool movie.
I haven't seen anything about that. With the Deadpool stuff of it all, I'm just kind of like letting it flow.
Here's what,
like,
here's
like,
what
I almost
I think.
Just believe everything at this point, because if you put it on the internet, Ryan Reynolds is going to see it and he's probably going to do it. So
yeah, I think part of me really thinks that Ryan Reynolds is going to like do this big scene where, like, because he confirmed Wolverine and it's going to be like, you know, that's been a lot of the marketing is him and Wolverine are together and whether they're teaming up or whatever's happening. Like, I think that there's a really good chance that we are going to get like a Channing Tatum Gambit and, you know, different X-Men characters and all this stuff, because like people have kind of demanded more X-Men characters from the Deadpool movies since Colossus has been in it. And you know, different X-Men characters. And they've joked about it before, like in the movie, like they shut the door on Deadpool. They're like, oh no, make sure he doesn't see us. You know, I think that they're going to like, I think he's going to toss them in there just to kill them.
I think so. Just like he did with like at the end of Deadpool 2 when he like time jumps to the Fox universe and kills a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Or like, I guess not the Fox universe, like the Ryan Reynolds universe and killed like a bunch of his stuff.
He kills that like first Deadpool, Deadpool.
Did he do it? I feel like he like killed Green Lantern or something like that. I don't know. But yes. You know, just like
I think
something.
He killed Ryan Reynolds too.
I think he did.
He just killed Ryan Reynolds.
He just killed him. So I love that. No, but overall, I think that The Marvels was a really good movie. I had a lot of fun watching it. It made a lot more sense and did a lot better than Thor Love and Thunder did, which isn't a very high bar. But I unfortunately suffer from a syndrome where I grade everything very high on a scale. So
I usually do too. But yeah, The Marvels didn't. So I did 6.5. What was yours?
Mine was an 8 out of 10.
Okay. That's actually very not as high as you usually go.
No, I normally am like 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10. I think I normally do 9 out of 10, and Spider-Man is the only one that I've done like a 10 out of 10 on.
Batman.
Well, that doesn't count. That's not DC.
Okay.
That's DC.
Right.
This is
saying,
Marvel.
Review-wise, I'm pretty sure we both gave the new Batman movie 10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah. Like 10 out of 10 and 10 hours of my heart. So
10 years of my life.
10 years of my love. You got it. I like these characters. I liked the choreography in this movie. I liked how they made a lot of stylistic choices. It made sense. Like a lot of things just made sense in this movie until they didn't.
Right.
You know, so overall, very good movie and everybody really should watch it. It's not a required viewing, I don't believe, though. Like, it definitely didn't have that feel to it, like an Avengers setup or something like that. I guess like a champion setup, but
technically, this isn't the first viewing of an X-Men. Like, we had Professor X show up in the Doctor Strange movie and then get murked real hard. But, like, this is the first X-Men in their universe showing up.
True that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a ranking for the last, like, 4 Phase 5 movies?
So, real quick. So, the last 5 have been Guardians of the Galaxy, 3, Ant-Man, Eternals, Thor, Love and Thunder, and then The Marvels, which is our newest. So, my ranking is probably gonna be, and I'm so biased, so please understand that I'm not necessarily ranking these out of like best movie. I'm a very biased person when it comes to this stuff, which is why I probably love Marvel so much, because I'm biased. Because honestly, if you objectively watch, you're probably not gonna love it as much. But
much.
Yeah, like just being honest, like I'm hyper fixated for the rest of my life. Here we are. I would say that Ant-Man was actually my top, if we're starting at the top. Which, are we starting at the top? Whoops, there's my number one. I guess we're starting at the top.
Okay.
Well, all right, so my top is Ant-Man. I love Ant-Man. He's one of my favorites. Ironically enough, I've never read one of his comics. I am in love with Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
A lot. I love him. I think he's hilarious. I've seen a lot of his movies. Have some of them aged well? No, but I love him. And so that's why Ant-Man has a place in my heart. And I am more motivated to go read the Ant-Man comics because he brought Ant-Man to life for me. So Ant-Man's number one for me. I also very much, I think I said this in a recording about Ant-Man 2, but when it was like, no matter which version or which universe that Scott came from, he loved his daughter. Yeah. And I was like, that is so, that's
pure.
It. Yep. That's it for me right there. Number one.
Pure Paul Rudd.
Out of these five, number one. I also love that we get his daughter entering into the superhero world.
Yeah.
And we knew that was coming, but it was cool to see. So that's number one. Then I would say Guardians of the Galaxy 3, or Volume 3. It was a pretty good movie. There was a lot of heartfelt moments. There was a lot of, it was good. I like how they tied it up. I like how certain characters left, because that is a very, much like the X-Men, that is a very Guardians of the Galaxy thing to do. That team changes up quite a bit in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Leader changes, members change. So I was like, okay, members change. We got to see that happen. That's really cool. And then I would say after that, it would probably be Thor: Love and Thunder, which I know is probably going to be a lot of people's like, why is that your third? I love He-Man a lot. I love that style of cartoon and that so ridiculously macho that it's like, this is gay. this is very, like, in the 80s, like, y'all thought this was cool. No, this is gay. And I love that. That's true. Yeah.
It was fun.
Like, so campy, so cheesy. Like, but I personally think they purposely played into that. And that's why.
Oh, for sure.
That's why I loved it so much, because it was just a fun movie. Like, it definitely gave off, like, mystery, space dungeon, sci-fi, muscle man. Like, and that's why it gets number three. After that, I would say the Marvels. It was a decent movie. It had the X-Men little thing at the end. So it definitely gets a little bump because of that. And then after that, I would say Eternals would be my fifth. So that's, of the recent five movies that came out, that would be my order. Is it objective? No. It's based on me, my entire bias as a person.
I'm like, our lists are
different.
Different.
Yes, they are. Which, it's funny because sometimes we're pretty similar, but this one we were pretty different.
Times when we do these like rankings or these like lists, we don't look at each other's lists, which I don't think we looked at each other's lists before this either. And we don't talk about them. We just kind of do them, and they end up being very, very similar with like one, maybe one difference. And that is not the case.
No, this time. Is our first time. Yeah.
Well, we've been like, I think 100% different.
Looking at yours, we are 100% different.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Well, what was your number one? Since I guess we're starting with number one, like we never do.
You know. Okay.
My bad.
My number one was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, because I felt like it was the best made out of the Phase 5 movies.
Very fair.
You know what? I'm actually kind of starting to question if Eternals is in Phase 5 or if that ended out Phase 4.
Whatever.
But either way, that's where we started. Yeah, that's where I started, because that was the last most recent one that I could remember. And I do think now that I'm talking about it, it ended out Phase 4 and everyone was like hung up on that. But whatever.
Yeah, we'll just let it go.
You know, so my number one was Guardians of the Galaxy, because I felt like it was the most well done. It had the most concise storyline, the best character arcs, that made the most sense plot wise. And it made me cry. We know how I feel about crying.
It was definitely a tearjerker several times.
So my number two, I feel like this is pretty biased because I just watched it. Because I'm really bad about like high ranking things that I just experienced, unless it's Morbius.
unless it's Morbius. That one gave us opposite good feelings.
That
one
gave me nightmares. But for the wrong reasons. My number two was the Marvels.
You still want a Morbin time tattoo.
Yeah, because I just desecrate my body every day, so I may as well laugh when I do it.
That's, you know, valid. I'm not going to argue with you anymore on it. That's perfect. You know,
that's exactly why we should do it. Obviously, for the reasons we've just discussed for like 45 minutes, the Marvels is number two.
Okay.
Again, it comes from like a well done factor and like critical thinking afterwards of like, okay, not only did I have fun, but this made sense.
Yeah, you did it opposite of me. I went purely, what did I have the most fun?
This brought me joy.
I did. Yeah, this brought me joy. That was what I needed in the moment. And thank you.
I'm consistently in crisis mode. So I'm always contemplating, what did that mean? My number three was Ant-Man, because I love Paul Rudd. And even though this movie's CGI and it had like some very big gaping plot holes for all the same reasons that you said, it was still fun. And Paul Rudd is still a delight. And Scott Lang is still a treasure, even though I, too, yes, have never read an Ant-Man comic. I own several of them, but I have never read them. Probably won't, if I'm being fair with myself.
At least you're honest.
You know, yeah, whatever. Number four was Eternals, because like I Lacey and I had talked about this briefly before we started recording. It was like visually, aesthetically well done. Like they used, yeah, a lot of like natural lighting and natural like scenery. They didn't build stuff. Very minimal CGI work for it. I say minimal, but it's still a Marvel movie, so they're still like,
right, of course. Of course.
And, you know,
CGI. In the terms of a Marvel movie.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of a Marvel movie, like the lower end of CGI scale, you know, there's still like the demo dog things or whatever they are in it. So that's number four. Because like still the movie made sense, but without making sense, like where were these beings at while everything else in the world was falling apart, but whatever. And that left number five is Thor. Love and Thunder, because while it was enjoyable, and it was very himbo and very, I love Chris Hemsworth, it still just at the end of the day was like the weaker of all the movies, because I really truly to my core feel like Taika Waititi just like be doing whatever he wants with things because of the He-Man thing.
I
think that's why. I think your theory on the He-Man stuff was like why he is the way that he is with Thor, because he's like, this is an absolutely ridiculous character with a ridiculous story, and I'm gonna make it even more ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm gonna camp it up even more,
you know. And like for that, I think Thor as a character suffers.
Dang.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I will say, like, objectively, like if I go in your same mindset of like kind of the logic, I would still put Ant-Man above the Marvels personally, but if I went less emotional and more logically, I would agree more with your list, for yeah, sure. I just went purely emotional and what brought me joy, because I've needed it lately. Like, so I went off.
Do
that.
Do you make me happy?
Yeah, you
do.
You wanted my rankings? Well, I'm going to go off what made me smile. So these made me giggle and smile, and this, that's very, why, like, I chose them.
This is a very like cat and dog list we've, yeah, made right now.
Yeah, like our first time. Are we gonna fight? Do we have to fight now?
Fighting right now?
Are we? Are we? Are we
friends? Are we still friends?
I don't know.
I don't know if we're still friends after this.
Is this our friends to enemy arc?
Are we in a different era now?
Is this how it? A new phase.
Actually,
is this how the new phase of the Paracosmos podcast starts?
This is phase restart number two. Phase two.
Yeah, this is phase two. Leah and Lacey are enemies. Now they get on here and they just argue with each other.
You know, that would be fun though. I don't want to do that because that sounds exhausting, but I would need
a lot of reassurance afterwards that, right, we're still friends, right, and everything's okay if we're going to argue on a podcast. Because when I debate with people, I'm like, are we okay? Did I say something wrong? Are we still friends? Please.
Please validate my feelings.
Please validate my feelings that we're still okay.
You know, I do that all the time. Yep. I can't wait till they come out with like a solid X-Men MCU film. So to see where we like stand at that point, like, will we be in agreement on it? Will we be opposites? Will we be mad? Will we be upset? Yeah.
And I feel like I honestly 100% think that.
Will you love it just because it's the X-Men?
I think it could go either way. I really do. I think it could go either way. I think I could end up loving it just because I got to see X-Men, or I could end up like being really upset about it because I love X-Men comics so much, it could upset me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm like, man, it's a coin toss. I almost said a toin toss. I do that all the time. I always say toin toss.
It's a toin.
It's a coin toss. So, yeah, it could go either way. I have thought about that. I'm like, they could get it right. It, like, in my mind, get it right, or at least somewhat right, and I'll be happy. But they could also get it really wrong. I was not the biggest fan of the Fox ones. I think they did Rogue real dirty in those.
They did.
They did Rogue real dirty. The Fox ones are
still some of my favorite movies, like, just in general. But I think it comes from a nostalgic thing more than anything, you know?
I still enjoy watching them. Yeah, I still watch them.
Oh, I still watch them all the time.
They don't make me, like, that mad or anything.
Where is it? They're literally, like, literally right here.
For those of you that can't see right now, because this is a podcast, but yeah, I'm pointing. There is bookshelf upon bookshelf, like a wall covered in DVDs. Like, if anything was going to tell you that Leah was a millennial, this is it right here.
I counted how many X-Men. My background is nothing but DVDs. It's actually literally Blu-rays. They're actually Blu-rays, okay?
Okay, I apologize. Let me back up.
Take it back. Zachary, dear Zach, has decided that we are not a DVD family. We are a Blu-ray or 4K family.
That's fair.
And that's it.
I understand.
So somewhere in my closet, there is like 3 giant boxes full of just DVDs that he has replaced with Blu-ray copies. But we are a physical media family. We will be buying physical media for everything because I like to watch things back to back until I know every single thing about it.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, it physical media is great. Yeah. It could be the OCD. It could be the ADHD. Who knows?
We'll never know. There's 13 different X-Men adjacent DVDs behind me currently.
Beautiful.
Blu-rays, I'm sorry.
I love that. I love that for you, and I love that for me. I love that for us.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right, well, I think that's about everything. So
that's it for the Marvels / some more X-Men talk.
Right. Always. God.
It's always at the end.
We're always going to go back to the X-Men.
We're just like, so we just watched Kang beat up Ant-Man. Now, how could this relate to the X-Men?
How could this actually be just the X-Men?
So Scott Lang worked at Baskin-Robbins. Which X-Men do you think he'll run into?
Exactly. So yeah, thank you guys for listening. I know we disappeared for a while, and I know we said that the last time. We're back. We're for sure back. I promise. I feel like when I say we're back, it's almost like when you say we'll be right back in a horror movie and then you don't come back because you got killed.
It could be anywhere from like a 10-minute break to you're never going to see me again.
Yeah. So, in fairness, we had a lot going on.
Yeah,
which I know we say a lot, but this was like legitimately we had a...
There was like a whole other human added to the world.
Yeah,
a whole other
human came into existence. Job voodoo, job witchcraft was happening.
Job cybersecurity hacking. Yep. Like literally a Chili's shooting. Life's just
stuff
been a
got wild.
Crazy. Yeah,
life's been wild.
It's been wild. So yes. We're back.
We really want to do this. And we appreciate you guys and your patience with us. And we appreciate those who listen. It's really cool, and it's just. This is fun. I love doing this.
It is fun. And I would love if everyone went to go see the Marvels, just because I truly believe that these actors deserve it. How much love you could feel in this movie.
And also the cat scene. It's so
and just
like
the cats.
God, it's so worth it to see Goose's scene. It's so that whole sequence. It literally, even if you're like, I don't like Captain Marvel, I don't care. Go see it for Goose then. Go see it for Goose.
Just go watch it for Goose.
Go watch it for Goose.
Do it for Goose.
Do it for Goose.
For Goose.
Goose.
For all time.
Goose President 2024.
It's a flarkin.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.